Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll go to your calls in just a few moments on the broadcast, but I want to talk for at least a few minutes with the publisher of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. And the reason I want to do this is because he is really the primal force behind this book. If it were not for my publisher, Jack Countryman, this book would not exist today. From the very beginning, many, many years ago, he told me to take the questions that I answer on the broadcast, to chisel my answer until just the gem emerges, and to put that in a book. And it took him a number of years before I was convinced to do it. The book has come out now in three different editions. There was an initial edition, then a second volume, then the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, and now there's the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated. And quite frankly, when Jack started talking about this project, I didn't know how we could improve on the last one. And it wasn't until I actually saw it in the studio that I realized that, quite frankly, this is the most beautiful book that I have ever seen. It is beautiful in its presentation. Of course, I love the content, but the presentation is exquisite. It's bigger than the last Bible Answer book, and it's etched in silver. It's leather bound. It's just an absolutely exquisite book, and I thought I'd have the publisher, my good friend Jack Countryman, on to talk about his vision for this book, and to thank him for making it a reality. Jack, good to have you on the broadcast.
Well, Hank, it's just great to be with you today and to talk about our favorite subject, the Complete Bible Answer Book.
You have been in this business, the business of gift books, and you're the one that talked me into making this a gift book as opposed to what we would call a regular trade book. Talk about the difference between the two and why you thought this was perfectly suited for what is called the gift book category.
Well, as we discussed so many times, that you chisel and really bring about the nuts of the, and bolts of really what the subject that you're dealing with. And I just felt like, from my experience, if someone has a beautiful book that they put in their hands and they say, my, this is just wonderful, that first of all, they want to read it themselves. And secondly, they want to give it to someone as a gift. And as we talked about putting this book together, I just couldn't help but feel like this is the perfect subject. I mean, after all you've done with this book, 195 subjects. Can you imagine? This book is as important as a companion piece to the Bible. And then you've added the acronyms. So we have 600 pages here of just a material that is so valuable to our Christian walk, to our Christian belief, to our Christian understanding. And I just am thrilled that we've been able to do it and bring it out. And we're as proud of this particular edition as you are.
Hard to believe when we started this project, Jack, many years ago, that the book now would stand at over 500,000 copies.
Well, it is a miracle, but it also proves that people want to know the truth, and truth matters. And people want to know what is the Bible has to say. And you have been working for 30 years now and telling people about the answers that the Bible has, and it's just a wonderful experience. And we're hopeful to continue to build the numbers. So next time we talk, maybe we'll be talking about 1 million books.
Jack, you have sold so many millions of books in your lifetime. You're in your 80s. Very, very accomplished. A couple of years ago, was privileged to attend your Lifetime Appreciation Award. You were appreciated for how many books you have now put in the hands of people with Christian content?
Well, we have published over 800 titles, and we have now 82 million books in print. The first book that I published, God's Promises for Your Every Need, is now approaching 20 million. So God has really just blessed us beyond all measure.
And the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcaster, outreaches around the world. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. And I mentioned this on a number of broadcasts. We are attempting to set a new record in terms of the numbers of people that transition from being occasional givers to monthly CRI support team members. And when you join the monthly CRI support team, be pleased to send you a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Jack, your passion for Christian books, you probably could give many, many examples of people whose lives have been transformed by reading a book.
Well, hey, you remember when we were in China together?
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah with Jaja came to us, and I was introduced to him, and you told him that I was a publisher of God's Promises for Your Every Need. And his eyes lit up, and he said, I have that book. I've had that book for 17 years. And it's all worn and tattered, and I said to him, you'll have a new one in the morning. I just couldn't believe that we were over in China, in Shanghai, and the man had read the book that I published in 1982.
And I think that's a great example of the fact that people in America read the book in English and oftentimes fail to recognize that these books are translated into many different languages, and they literally touch people around the globe.
Yes, the fact that God's Promises is now in 29 different languages.
Well, Jack, you have been a great friend to me for many years, and I wanted to have you on the broadcast to publicly thank you for not only urging me to do this book, because without you, as I mentioned at the opening of the show, the book wouldn't be a reality, but I appreciate the fact that you and the rest of the staff at Thomas Nelson have put your your genius to work in terms of the presentation itself, because it's not just the cover, leather bound and etched in silver, but it's the complementary colors inside, the way the titles are laid out. I mean, it's just a masterpiece.
Well, you know, Hank, you've often said you want to equip Christians to mine the Bible for all of its wealth. And I appreciate the opportunity that you have given us to serve you in this fashion, because you are making a difference in the kingdom. And the material that you have in your book is so essential for people to get to learn, to become aware of what is going on in the world, in the cults, in abortion, in Mormonism, in the gay life, in doctor, all the different things, the acronyms that you've placed in the book are just so essential that I really want to urge people to get this book in their hands, and it will change your life and bring to light the path that God really wants for each and every one of us to take.
Again, check the book out on the web at equip.org. Jack, before you go, I want you to talk for a moment about your age. And the reason I want you to do that is because you are the youngest person I have ever seen in their 80s, and you believe that every single moment is precious, and every time I see you, you're excited about life. You recognize that what you do now counts for all eternity. I want you to share that passion with our audience.
Well, I'm 86, and I believe that retirement is not in the Bible. It's never a part of life. And my ambition has always been, I'm an old athlete. And my motto has always been, Lord, don't put me on the bench. Keep me on the playing field. Keep me out where the action is. Let me be a part of what you're doing. And if you do that, I will serve you faithfully. And that is my passion. That is my belief. That is my life.
And every single breath is significant. I remember my dad telling me that, Jack, when he was struggling with a fibrosing in the lungs, it encroached upon his ability to assimilate oxygen. And as he was dying, I asked him, Dad, don't you just want to get out of the misery, go home and be with the Lord? And he said, no, son, every single moment God gives me is precious. And as I've shared with you privately, he was able to pray for every one of his children and every one of his grandchildren and every one of his great-grandchildren before he went home to be with the Lord. So even his last breath was significant. So what you're doing is encouraging all of us to run the race, to finish the race, to complete the race that the Lord our God has given us, so that when we stand before him, he can say, well done.
Amen. Amen, my brother.
Well, Jack, you have been a great friend to me, as I said, and I really appreciate the work that you've done on this book. Give Laura and the rest of the team my regards and tell them how deeply grateful I am. I know people, this has been one of the greatest months we've had. People are getting this book and they're passing it on to other people. It's been a wonderful resource to equip people.
Well, we're just so privileged to be a part of it and be able to bring it to the marketplace. And we are as pleased with the beauty of the book as you are. You know, this book has 600 pages of absolute gold. So I want to encourage everyone to get the book, to read it, and be a part of their life.
Jack Countryman, he is the founder of the book division, the gift book division at Thomas Nelson, a great friend of mine for many, many years. Appreciate having you on the show, Jack.
Well, thank you, Hank. It's been my privilege.
And remember, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. Get your copy for your gift all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28. 2871. Our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. When we come back from the break, we'll be going right to your questions. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. If you don't have the CRI app, it's just an incredible tool. You can have the shows that you listen to archived. You can listen to the broadcast live. In addition to that, you can read hundreds of articles. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the Equip app. So simply go to equip.org/app and download your app today. It's free, and it will certainly make a difference in your life. Again, we'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised, updated, available for your gift. Please go to the web right now. Get your copy, equip.org. Back in just a few.
Does the Bible promote slavery? What about polygamy? How can Christians legitimize a God who orders the genocide of entire nations? How could Pharaoh be morally responsible if God hardened his heart? Do the gospel accounts contradict one another? Is soul sleep biblical? What about the millennium? These and many more questions are answered in Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Receive Hank's revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. And if you like the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Just call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Bet your teachers never told you. Muhammad did not teach peace and tolerance, but led armies and ordered the assassination of his enemies. The Crusades were not acts of unprovoked aggression by Europe against the Islamic world, but a delayed response to centuries of Muslim aggression. And what is known today as the Islamic world was created by a series of brutal conquests of non-Muslim lands. That's why the Christian Research Institute has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and thoroughly researched books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The average Christian can't be expected to be a Bible scholar. And in today's fast-paced culture, only few people are going to do the heavy lifting of systematically searching Scripture to find the accurate answers they need. Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, offers you concise, accessible, and well-researched answers. And if you like the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Steve. He's listening in Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How are you, Hank?
I am well, thank you.
Good. So I have a question. I was just talking to someone and explaining that how Jesus is God, and he asked me, why is he called the Son of God? And I didn't quite know how to answer that.
Yeah, he is God the Son. One of the things that we have to recognize is that words and phrases are not univocal. They are equivocal. They take on the meaning that is poured into the word within a given context. And in Scripture, the Messiah or Jesus Christ is found as the Son of God. In fact, the term appears 45 times in the New Testament, and almost in every case, I think there's one exception, it refers to Christ. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And as the Son of God, he has the eternal divine perfection of God. Now, all of that is not my theorizing, but you can find that explicitly stated in various passages. So by reading the passages, we get the meaning because the passages are explaining something within a given context. And the given context always explains that Jesus is equal to God. So Son is not meant in a physical sense. That's what the Muslims think. They think that when we talk about the Son of God, that the Father sired a Son. But that's not the idea in Christianity. It has to do with a phrase that signifies that Jesus Christ shares the exact same nature with God. And of course, Jesus many times during his earthly sojourn manifested that. And he called himself equal to the Father. And so the Jews who knew precisely what he's talking about took up stones to stone him, and he asked them, why are you stoning me? Is it because of my miracles? He says, no, not your miracles, but because you, a man, claim to be God. So they understood precisely what the meaning of his words were when he would say, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen God.
Okay. All right, that certainly helps.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Hey, nice talking to you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brant. He's in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Brant.
Hello. I have a question. I am kind of inspecting some of the Catholic traditions and some of their beliefs. And one of the things that I'm learning about is kind of their viewpoints on contraception and birth control, and how that doesn't, from the way I understand it, it doesn't express the fullness of sexual unity between a man and a woman, and how that doesn't express the fullness of Christ in the church. And I wanted to kind of hear your thoughts on that. This is kind of a new idea for me.
Thoughts on what particularly now?
Yeah, should I as a Protestant kind of grapple with that? Is that kind of the truth?
Yeah, but what is the that you're asking about?
Is been birth control or contraception not the ideal? Is that not the ideal that maybe that God had in mind for us? Is that taking it out of context when we use birth control?
Yeah.
And have sex with and within a marriage.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying. I probably should have got it the first time. But yeah, I mean, the idea here is that we should never use birth control methods that are designed to destroy or prevent the implantation of a fertilized egg. And the reason for that is, as Christians, we believe that from the moment of conception, an embryo is a living, growing person made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, to destroy that embryo is to destroy life. We always say that an embryo doesn't have fully developed personality, quite obviously, but does have full personhood from the moment of conception. And many of the things that we see with respect to embryology point to the fact that this is a human being that has cell reproduction, that has its own unique genetic code, and much, much more. So in an age of scientific enlightenment, I think that birth control methods that are designed to destroy a living embryo are methods that we shouldn't use. Now, there are other birth control methods that can be used without doing this. So I think that family planning, from my own personal perspective, is something that's left in the hands of a couple in concert with their God. So you have to prayerfully consider these things before the Lord, but taking into consideration the biblical perspective as well as the scientific perspective. The biblical perspective saying that you created me in my mother's womb, you knit me together, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be, and now we see that in an age of scientific enlightenment, all of that is borne out through embryology. So this is not something that is purely scriptural, but scripture backed by what we know in an age of scientific enlightenment.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question about possibly the Eucharist?
Sure.
Okay. You know, the Catholic Church believes that the bread and the wine become the body and the blood of Jesus in a very real sense. I've been kind of looking into it, and it almost seems like very early Christianity in the history of it. Kind of reflects that that's kind of what the church believed, but then it doesn't seem like that's emphasized in Protestant churches, at least mainstream churches at all. It's just a symbol. It doesn't take on the significance in the sense of like this is a real thing as much. And I just kind of wanted to hear what your thoughts were on that. I know that people were martyred who participated in mass, and that they went to extremes to protect what they believed was the body and blood of Jesus early in first century Christianity. And so I'm kind of wrestling with this, and I wanted to kind of hear what your thoughts were on it.
Well, I think you're absolutely right to point to church history. It is true that the early church, right on through, no longer being the early church, but right on through the time of Luther, believed in the real presence of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between the Eastern Church and the Western Church, not in terms of what they believe, but in that the Western Church was more apt to try to explain it in some way, whereas the Eastern Church was more apt to leave it in mystery. But in both cases, they believed that the real presence of Christ is in the Eucharist. The Lutherans, following Luther, say in, with, or under the elements. The Catholics talk about a transubstantiation. The Eastern Fathers said, well, you know, we're not sure exactly what's going on here. All we know is that Christ is really present. We take him at his word, because Jesus Christ said, this is my body, this is my blood. And you're also correct to point out that it wasn't until the time of the Reformation and Zwingli that the real presence of Christ was doubted in any way whatsoever. And Luther, of course, in a great colloquy, argued with Zwingli over this. I think it was at the Marsberg Castle in 1529. And Zwingli, like some others who wanted to take the idea of real presence and change it, tried to get Luther to prove how the real presence could be in the elements. And Luther said, well, if you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I'll explain to you how Christ can be really physically present in the elements. And again, for more than 1,500 years of church history, so the vast majority of church history, no one thought that this was just a memorial. They believed that this was very, very significant, real presence of Christ. And therefore, by partaking of the Eucharist, you were partaking of uncreated energy. Thus, one should never consider doing that in an unworthy manner. We should take seriously the admonition of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that if you do so, many are sick and many die. So uncreated energy for both the biblical writers and the early church fathers, right up until Luther, was something not to be trifled with. It was very serious, and it was the fuel on which the church ran, which is to say that every Lord's Day, as people got together, they took the Eucharist or the Lord's table because this was what energized the church, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So that now this is not just working on your own energy, but actually functioning on the energy of Jesus Christ, what Paul was talking about when he said, to this end I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. He's talking about uncreated energy, and only God is uncreated.
Mm. Wow, thank you so much for talking more about that, Hank. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And, you know, it's a pleasure to do what I do. I just love this. I've been doing it almost 3 decades, and it's not as though I come into the studio and say, oh, another show. No, I think, oh, Lord, thank you for another opportunity. In fact, before I come into the studio, I pray. It's a designated period of time that I pray, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to do what I'm doing. And I ask Him to allow me to touch the lives of people, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. In other words, not simply to overwhelm someone with an answer, but rather to do something that I cannot do, and that is to change hearts and perhaps create a movement of believers that are change agents in the world, not cultural imitators, but cultural initiators. And this is one of the reasons that I ask people to stand with me in the battle for life and truth, not stand far away from me, but shoulder to shoulder with me. And we can make a difference. We're losing the culture wars. There's a great civilization clash that's going on internally within our own culture. But also, we have a great clash of civilizations with Islam, and people have very little idea of what is really going on. In fact, listening to our politicians in the last debate, I fear that they don't even know what's really going on. If they did, they would have more precise, concise, and practical ways of dealing with an ideology which is a death knell for the West. All of this I'm writing on, producing, working every single day with people at the Christian Research Institute and with you, standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. All of this is possible. So thank you. That was my point. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You make it possible. Back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
When you ponder the spiritual and moral problems facing our nation, which ones would not be improved through a deeper understanding and application of biblical principles? That's why you need the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated by Hank Hanegraaff. And if you like the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Receive your revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
equip.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment from Hank Hanegraaff. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Abroad and at home, Islamic jihadists boldly assault innocent people on the streets, as we saw in Paris and San Bernardino. Capitals around the world brace themselves for increasing attacks by suicidal terrorists willing to blow up themselves and others in the name of Allah, while even many Christians embrace the politically correct folly that Islam is a religion of peace. As a way of addressing this spiritual warfare against the kingdom of Christ, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources by Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive either of Spencer's books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff is convinced that the increase in our national social woes, now reaching alarming heights, can be correlated to what is a decades-long decline in biblical literacy. To help reverse this trend, Hank wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book, and now he'd like you to have a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. If you enjoyed the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Receive your revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Well, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our... Well, before I go back to our phone calls, do want to just mention briefly that we're trying to set a record in terms of people joining the monthly CRI support team. It just means so much to our outreaches around the world. And if you could join the team, obviously I want the Holy Spirit to lead you, but if you can join, it would be deeply appreciated. And I'll be pleased to personalize the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and updated to you, a family member, or a friend. If you got the old one, you're going to love the new one. Again, available for your support this month and personalized for those who join the monthly support team. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jean, listening in Canada, Calgary, beautiful city, CHRB. Hi, Jean.
Hi, and thank you for your program and the journal, and I just have learned so much from both. And my question is Exodus 34 and verse 7, where visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And I don't understand that about...
Yeah, that has to do, Jean, with the consequences of sin. Because the Bible is very, very clear about the fact that each person is culpable for their own sins. But you can well imagine that if one generation of the Israelites sins, it has an impact on the next generation. What we're doing right now as parents is having a great impact on our children. If we nurture them in the fear and knowledge of the Lord, they're going to be change agents in the culture. If we fail to do that, they're going to be cultural conformists. But what the Bible makes clear, and you can go to Ezekiel chapter 18, and this is not just a verse. You can look at the entire passage. It is devoted in its entirety to the notion that the soul who sins is the soul who will die. In fact, there's a proverb that God repudiates in this passage. The proverb says that the father eats sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And God says, I want you to no longer quote that proverb in Israel because every living soul belongs to me. The father as well as the son, both alike belong to me. And the soul who sins is the one who will die. Later on in that same chapter, Ezekiel says he will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live, but his father will die for his own sin. And then again, the soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. So again, an entire chapter devoted to the premise that each person is responsible for their own sin. And that's the theme of the scripture. We can either respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit or reject that. But consequences for sins are visited throughout the generations, and certainly the Bible makes that clear, and we see that in a practical sense in our own lives.
Yes. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Elijah, listening in Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Elijah.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call again. I appreciate your program.
My pleasure.
I have a question. It's a simple question, but I hope it's not too convoluted. So I'm thinking about the fact that is Jesus God's plan B for a plan A that has gone wrong? This question also presume that I'm taking into consideration the fact that God is omniscient, and he knew, the Bible say that before the world began, he had predestined us and chosen us. And so, but I'm not sure if someone should ask me that, was it that he decided to let it play out, even though when he actually created the world and he knew all that would take place, but he went ahead and let sin play out? Or could he have just taken care of it initially?
Well, he could have, but then there would be no such thing as love. For love to be meaningful, it has to be volitional. So God created people in such a way that they could respond to him or reject his love and grace and goodness. And out of that comes the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. So God has created us as volitional beings. We can choose to love him or do otherwise. Now, what's interesting about all of this is the omniscience. It is true that Christ was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. It is also true that God knows from the beginning. However, the fact that God knows what is going to happen does not presuppose that what happens is fatalistically determined. If that were the case, we wouldn't wash our hands. We'd say, if God wants my hands clean, he'll wash them. He'll get them clean whether I wash them or not. And as I've mentioned many times on this broadcast, you can look back in your own life and know things with absolute certainty that you were not the causal agent of. So the knowledge of something does not presuppose that you are the causal agent of that thing. God knows the end from the beginning. We don't know the end, but we do know what happened in our past. So the fact that he knows all things, again, does not mean that all things are fatalistically determined. Fatalistic determinism has no place, in my view, in a Christian worldview. It works well in philosophies like philosophical atheism or naturalism. You know, if you're nothing more than brain chemistry and genetics, then you have no free will. It's all determined by molecules of motion.
Okay, I mean that's well put. That was a great answer. I was grappling with that a little bit because I've heard somebody had asked that on a blog, on Facebook, and then some other places, and I've thought about it, but I was not sure how that relates to free will, because in any way that I will argue, that means taking away our free will. If God had a plan B and then and still decided to go ahead with a plan A and say, okay, I want a sinless society, that will be taking away our free will.
And take away love, taking love out of the equation. Look, we know before we have kids that those kids are going to suffer, and yet we choose to have kids. And God knew that Adam would sin. He knew that you would sin. He knows what your next sin is going to be. But you're still culpable for your sin because you are making a volitional choice for that sin. But the beautiful thing is that in the midst of all of that, God provides for us a way out, a way of redemption, which leads to the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to be, not to sin, because we will have been actualized in our choices.
Yes, I think that's well put. I grasped that from John, what it says, that I chose you, you did not choose me. So I think that the doctrine of adoption really explained that a lot, the fact that you know who you are adopting, and you know all the consequences. You would have actually have an informed decision about what that person is capable of and not. And so God knew us, and he did adopt us anyway. He knew what we would do. That's great. Thanks for your insight on that. Okay.
Thank you, Elijah. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Nick in Layton, Utah. He's listening on KUTR. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for your ministry. We love it all the way out here in Utah.
Thank you.
My question is in regards to a conversation that I had last evening with a Mormon missionary. As you know, the Mormons don't believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, and they have extra-biblical canons that they use. So he was trying to prove that the Bible contradicts itself. One way that he did that was bringing up Deuteronomy 4:2 and Revelation 22, I think it's 18 and 19, and they both essentially say the same thing, which is do not add or take away from this word. And so what he was saying was, well, if Moses is saying do not add or take away from this word, which he was saying was this book of Deuteronomy, and John says the same thing in Revelation, how is that not a contradiction? And so I was wondering how you would have answered that question.
Yeah, not a contradiction at all. They're saying the same thing. In fact, not just Moses saying it about the Pentateuch and John saying about his writings, but you find this as a principle throughout the Bible. You can even find it in Proverbs. So the idea here is that you're not to add or subtract from the words of God, because ultimately, you don't want a muddy mixture between that which is infallible and that which is patently fallible. So no contradiction whatsoever. The reality is that the Bible demonstrates itself to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin. But you look at the Book of Mormon, and it is utterly discounted on the basis of both anthropology and archaeology. So it proves itself to be an unreliable revelation, whereas the Bible proves itself to be a reliable revelation. All God is saying is that do not subtract from my words, don't add to them, don't change what I've said. This is my revelation to you. And we have to take that seriously. And of course, revelation really adds the seriousness to this particular passage, tells us what the consequences are if you add or subtract from the Word of God. But yeah, it's absolutely true that Revelation is dealing with the book of Revelation specifically, and Moses is dealing with the Pentateuch specifically, but the principle is a principle that permeates the whole of Scripture.
Amen. Hank, do you remember off the top of your head what proverb it is that you mentioned earlier?
I think it's Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, but I'm guessing. I'm trying to pull this out of my head.
Understood. Well, thank you so much. I'll go and try and search for that. I have another meeting with the individual, and I obviously know that my responsibility is simply to preach the good news and God will do the rest. And so I just aim to do that as effectively as I can, especially coming out of Mormonism and now being a born-again Christian. I just have this burden to preach the good news to those whom I know are deceived.
And I hope I gave you the right verse. I think I did, but I appreciate everybody that stands with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference, not just for time, but for eternity. My thanks to you and for those that give a gift this month. And please be generous. The Complete Bible, when you see this, you're going to recognize the value of this book. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Available for your gift. For those who join the monthly support team, I'll personalize it. Check it out on the web at equip.org. See you next week with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send to you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. If you like the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.